Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Grasshopper. Stay connected and run your business from your mobile phone with Grasshopper. To save $50 on your order, visit trygrasshopper.com/twit. Welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 283, recorded on Tuesday, September 13th, 2016. We are your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion, not Ron Richards.
Yeah, we're just throwing Josh curveballs left and right.
It's okay, the Mac and Josh. You get a pass on the very first switch of the entire show.
I hope so.
The rest of the show, though.
Man, you better
be perfect. I'm just kidding.
Hey, what do you know? We're all here.
I know.
We're here. How did this happen?
Well, gods.
I went to the airport and I got on a plane.
Oh, okay.
And then I landed in San Francisco and then I got in a car and drove here.
This is like
here we go.
This is like the birds and the bees conversation.
Exactly.
But
like
on how you go from one place to
when
another.
A podcast host buys a plane ticket, he can then do the show in studio. No,
why did he choose SFO over SJC or OAK?
OAK. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. I wanted to join you guys. I missed the show. I missed being here. So I was like, I'll just come and be here. No, I'm in California this week, and so of course I was gonna do the show live, and it's the highlight of my week.
Excellent.
The highlight of my week that you're here.
It really
I'm
is.
So excited.
I get to be in between you two.
I know.
All of this, which is always an interesting thing.
And we decided to do it solo. We've got no guest this week, which I think is apropos considering we're in the new studio and we're
and
together
here.
And I'm here and life is good. So
life is good, guys. Life is good.
Fun times.
Don't worry. We haven't ejected guests forever. Although I am realizing just at this very moment what this is doing to the arena and how it may look.
Someone did point out last week when it was just you and I,
there was no
guest and no Florence. They're like, that's a real easy way to catch up on the leaders. And
that
like
was that, not the intention.
Not the intention at all. Not I give credit to the idea of a Machiavellian plan to do that, but things are a lot more organic, and it just happens to be. Yeah,
although if I wasn't on this show, I'd think the same thing. I'd be like,
what's
going on there?
And I feel like people attribute it more to me than to you.
Even though you have way less to do with the booking of the show than I do.
I have to tell you guys, my mother watches the show when I'm not on to make sure you guys are on your best behavior.
Oh, really?
Really?
Does she make sure that we mention you at the top of the show, how you aren't here and all that? Okay.
Oh, gosh, now I'm wondering what I say.
She's like, the boys were so cute today. There's Amber. Oh,
well,
she missed you.
Well, she's right there. I mean,
anyway, my mom loves you guys.
Oh, I love your mom.
Yes.
Hi,
I love your mom.
Your mom.
I just wrote a letter to your mom.
Oh, hey. Oh, I almost forgot.
Oh, speaking of letter, we got mail.
Real mail?
Check out this box. Check out this box. We'll go ahead over the shoulder shot.
I'm so excited.
Right from the onset, Samantha and
Z
from Hong Kong sent us this. It says, nougats are one of the favorite snacks around here in Hong Kong and Taiwan. Nougats are often served during Chinese New Year and auspicious occasions. We love them here and thought it would be a good idea to send you all some at your new studio location. Check out all of this.
I love the Android with using cardboard standing on a mountain of nougat. Which is fantastic.
Oh my God. My heart is so warm right now.
Thank you so much, Sam and Z. That's awesome. And there are all these different kinds of Asian nougat. This almond nougat.
I saved it. I haven't broken into it because I wanted to make sure that, we could all do that.
For sure.
We're going to all be here at the same time.
Oh, this is pastry with
nougat. Did that say cubic pastry?
Yeah.
Peanut nougat with milk flavor.
Strawberry almond.
As we've learned, eating nougat while doing the show.
Yeah, doesn't work so well.
Usually creates tummy aches.
So we're going to go ahead and set this aside.
Oh, can we have one?
Thank you, Samantha.
Can I open one while you're talking?
Sure.
All right.
We got a lot to talk about. And it may involve nougat, but not the eating of nougat unless Ron actually busts into the package, which
sure
I think he's doing
that's
right
happening.
Now.
I'm pretty sure that's happening.
We're going to be discussing the continuing saga of... I'm okay. I will wait. There's plenty. The continuing saga of Samsung's faulty batteries. Wah, wah, wah. The LG V20, we have it here in studio. We also happen to have the Moto Z Play Droid here in studio. And the Moto G4 Play.
And
what?
The Hasselblad.
Oh, the Hasselblad.
Don't bite into the nougat.
Don't do it?
It's been in the box a very long time.
Or it's just how nougat is. I think sometimes nougat's just like
that. I'm going to wait to bite into that until after the show.
And
the mics, that's why. It's delicious, but it's not going to go very well.
Probably not going to, yeah. And Super Mario coming to Android someday. That's
Whatever.
What we got. Yeah, and some more stuff. But why don't we dive into the news, Mac and Josh?
Let's do it.
You can't plug headphones into Courage. That's why the new Android phones have headphone jacks. It's Android news.
Yes.
Oh my God, bless you. Bless you for doing that. I have so much respect for you for doing that right now.
A plus.
Yes.
He actually asked me before the show, do any of the phones that are going to be on tonight, do they have a headphone jack? They all do?
Actually,
okay,
they all do.
Yeah, they all do. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, there's none that don't have a headphone jack.
It's because I don't want Ron to call me out on it, because last time I made a FIFA joke, Ron was like, we're not talking about FIFA. And I felt really bad about it. So.
Oh, Josh.
We really shouldn't talk about FIFA on this show. It's more of a John Oliver thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about the note exploding.
Oh, I mean, IFA. Sorry.
IFA, yeah. Or like FIFA. Whatever you want. IFA, FIFA, it's all the same thing. It's all over there.
Okay, so notes are exploding.
Yes, Samsung's nightmare keeps getting worse. I mean, seriously, this is just the worst scenario.
Oh, the tabloids are going far with it, too, now. Like, the UK tabloids are like, a poor little woman loses all of her photos from a Galaxy S7 exploding.
Just well,
like,
now it's now it's a target for media coverage. All the individual things that are happening. Houses, cars, all sorts of, you know, situations of exploding batteries and, you know, tied to the Note 7. And now we're starting to hear about these other stories that have nothing to do with the Note 7, but still exploding batteries. So suddenly exploding batteries is a thing everybody's talking
like
about
again.
Like
the little boy who got burned.
Yeah, but that wasn't
Brooklyn,
a Note 7.
And oh my gosh, that was a boy, but that was another Samsung phone.
Right.
And it's possible.
It was like a 2-year-old phone.
And it's
something.
Possible it could have been a third party phone, because there's a lot of like third party vendors like in New York and such, where you can just buy like batteries.
Yeah.
So, who knows where it came from?
So not a Note 7, but still, Note 7 has a pretty black eye at this point. The FAA has advised that the device not be packed in luggage or powered on during flights. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission is working on a formal recall
order.
The
MTA also made a note today. Somebody tweeted about it.
Really?
Yeah. It was like...
So, advising not to power it on, don't charge it, don't use it, just send it back. Samsung is actually kind of picking up their efforts to really kind of hammering with emails and all this kind of stuff to tell customers to get the return and exchange program in effect. I actually did it this morning. I called Samsung this morning and did the whole process.
You talked to Tom Samsung?
Mr. Samsung himself.
I need to, What I find really interesting about this is that how the rhetoric has gone from it's happening to a small number of phones. In fact, you might be okay if you came from this one to, oh my God, just get rid of it as soon as you can. And the fact that the exchange program is not to get another phone, it's to get a refund.
Yep.
And which then means there's a whole lot of people who bought the Note 7 and now need a new phone. Are they going to buy it
again?
Some
of the carriers are swapping people with Galaxy S7 and S7 Edges, though.
Right.
So I've gotten some tweets about that, and that's happening through the carriers. But
so I think Samsung has an opportunity here, because as we covered when they announced the Note 7, they skipped the Note 6. So my recommendation to Samsung is what they do is they rebrand the Note with the good batteries, but call it like, we're rolling back out the Note 6, and no one will be the wiser.
That's
not bad.
There you go.
That's not bad. Some will be the wiser.
Marketing.
And then we'll just
marketing
skip
genius.
The 7 next year and just make
yeah,
it
just
the 8.
Yeah, just move to the 8. Yeah, exactly. Get on an even number.
And 8 is a lucky number overseas in China. Mm-hmm. So...
8 is great.
I mean, this is,
I'm just trying to make all these connections.
This is like a permanent. This is a permanent bad thing.
It's
for
not.
The Note.
It's
no
not
matter,
good.
No matter what kind of corrections they make, and all that. I mean, it's kind of it will always be known as the iteration of the Note that had all of the exploding batteries,
which is really bad because. And as I've been saying, I feel like I've been like a broken record, but like this was such a great launch. This
really
was like possibly the best launch of any Samsung phone to date.
But do you guys remember when Toyota had all those problems where people, they kept crashing their cars? People are still buying Toyotas. The Prius is still like the number one selling car in the United States. So I think it's just about how Samsung is handling all of this. And I think the problem has been that which has been the problem all along, is having all these carriers to deal with, and sort of like there wasn't a contingency plan. Why is that word hard to say for me? In place to sort of like for everybody to go forth and just make sure that everything was done smoothly. It took a while before we heard that this was an official recall.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it's not. It's still not an official recall.
That's true. It still hasn't been classified as an official recall. Yeah. Precisely.
I mean, at first, I thought Samsung did really good at, like, being right on top of him, being like, okay, well, yes, let's get him back.
But there's something not clicking.
Yeah. People are not, for whatever reason, people are not returning them. I saw a report earlier today that says, like, the adoption rate of Note 7 right now is as much as it was the day the recall was announced.
Not a recall.
Like, you know, it dipped a little bit, but now it's right back. I mean, some people are stubborn.
Or lazy, or like, oh, it won't happen to me.
I didn't even think about this until earlier today, Megan Maroney we were talking about this. You know, people aren't in our position. We have tons of phones that we can fall back onto. Yep. For a lot of people,
it's true.
This is the phone they have.
It's
and
true.
To be without it, like I called, did the return with Samsung. They're going to send me a shipping label. So you know, if this was my only phone, I got to wait for the shipping label, 5, 7, 10
business
days.
Which means in the meantime,
I can't use the phone because it might blow my face off.
Because you don't get paid until they get the phone back, right?
Right. Yeah. You don't get paid. You don't get the $50 or whatever that gift certificate thing is as like their consolation.
So do you gamble with your life at that point?
If that's your only phone,
yeah.
If that's your only means of communication, yeah. Unfortunately, I think some people do.
Yeah. Well, but it seems like Samsung is going to take action if you don't turn the phone in, right?
I mean, that is definitely a good segue. Basically, if you refuse to return your device, I think starting next week, Samsung's going to be pushing an over-the-air update to ramp the maximum battery capacity down by 40%.
To 60%,
yeah. They're doing that
in Korea right now. So
that's really smart to deal with that, because the people who aren't turning it in, making it less flammable. I guess, or whatever.
Well, that's my question. Is this to annoy you into returning it, or is this to actually
mitigate the
battery charge?
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of both, though, really.
A little bit.
This has been like a total bummer for Samsung. So they have lost $26 billion in value since they've recalled the Note 7.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
That is very bad.
They will mark the replacement Note 7 devices with a blue S on the box, so that way you know what you're buying. Some carriers aren't even selling this anymore. So AT&T, for instance, doesn't have any sales page for the Note 7.
I don't think you can buy it.
You cannot
right now.
Buy it. Actually, it's true. T-Mobile, Verizon, and Sprint have all listed out of stock.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, once I started hearing the airlines. I think it was Tom. Yeah. So Tom Merritt tweeted he was flying on, I think it was Delta. Or United.
And did they do an announcement
saying if you have a Samsung Note 7, turn it off, put it away. Like it was all this, you know, like so.
Raise your hand and everybody will move away from your seat.
So yeah, it becomes almost like a scarlet letter kind of situation where it's like, you know, and so people aren't going to buy that if they're hearing that the airlines are banning it. I mean, that's crazy.
The only bummer about that, I just want to say, is like sometimes I watch Sky News because I like me some tabloid news. And last night they were talking about like the last missing plane that went missing, and they just somehow started started talking about how the Note 7 batteries are exploding. And then they went on this whole tirade about how dangerous lithium batteries are. Mm-hmm. And so really, anybody who brings a laptop onto an airline is taking a gamble.
I mean, yes.
Put it in perspective for everybody, but yes, the Note 7s have actually been exploding, so they are dangerous.
Right. It's a production error. Basically, the way they explain it is that it pushed together negative and positive poles within the battery cells, and in doing so, that causes it to heat up excessively. Yeah. So this, which leads me to my next question, is it too much to expect that a company of Samsung's stature should have caught this in Q&A prior?
QA.
Or QA. In question and answer session. Like, in an advanced Q&A session.
Will the batteries explode? Oh,
you in the back. Yes, they will. No. Next question.
I mean, the thing is that clearly whether or not this was a failure in their quality assurance testing process or something that whatever test they did, it passed. And I don't know what the full story is. We know we talked about when it first happened, whether they knew about it. And that's why they had this whole program ready to go. And I think that they didn't know about it, because I think that this is the kind of thing that you don't ship a product if you know 1 in 3,200 are going to blow up or whatever the number is. But if anything, I'm sure whoever's their head of QA has probably got a lot to answer for.
to say the least.
Yeah. So
to say,
but that said, the landscape for phones right now, it's we're in a really interesting cross section because what you've got is you've got a lot of customer dissatisfaction or lack of reliance on the Samsung brand now. The Galaxy brand, the Samsung brand, has taken a hit. And on the other side of the street, you got people really upset over headphone jacks over in the iPhone land. Are we poised for the upcoming Google Pixel phones to finally reach the level that we think that they're capable of? That's the question that's being raised now as we're looking towards a early October announcement from Google, which is wondering, is the time right for Google to emerge with a solid Google phone Android offering for consumers? And will the Pixel brand be the one to do it? What say you, Jason? Do you think it will?
I don't know. I don't. Yeah. I would love for that to be the case because I would love to see Google try its hand in that kind of capacity.
It has been. It has been.
I mean, well,
let's not forget the advertising that was behind the 6P and the 5X.
What'd that do?
Did it move the needle? No.
No, but
there
was
advertising, which is better than hardly any advertising ever whatsoever.
I just
want
to bring to the surface that we've had more Nexus, and I've seen more of them in the wild this generation than I have in previous generations.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just want to give a little bit of credit to Google. That's all.
I mean, you know, the Pixel brand in general is, I think, again, it kind of sits in very similar territory as the Nexus. Like, only true kind of Google nerds actually have less. Or would even think, yeah, probably
less.
Definitely less. But it sits in that same type of enthusiast category. Right. So if the idea is to use the Pixel brand to, you know, create the Google official phone, they're going to have to back that up with a crap ton of marketing and placement.
I don't know if that's going to happen. All the marketing, all the awareness, all of the advertising, whatever you can throw into it, will do nothing if they don't integrate with the carriers. That's what I'm saying is that if to this day you've got to go to the Play Store to buy the phone to sell the idea of an unlocked phone, even though the carriers have been helping people with this idea of unlocked phones and all that sort of stuff, they need a carrier partner who say you can get this phone now in every AT&T store, in every T-Mobile store, you know, in every Toys R Us, every, you know, wherever you buy phones.
Toys R Us.
Team up with Cricket. I don't know. But I saw a commercial.
Bless you. I know. I keep seeing
Cricket. I saw the commercial for Cricket, and it was like, the Alcatel.
Little dancing,
yeah,
know,
try the ZTE. I was like, oh, that's who's selling those phones.
It's better than
so there you go.
Talk.
Alcatel for you. There you go. But no, I think that if they really want to push this through and give us the Android phone that we've been waiting for that gets the respect of consumers, it's going to take more than cutesy ads that talk about Android be different. They need to sell this as the Google
and
phone.
And a huge celebrity name. A huge celebrity name.
I don't think so. No.
Actually, you're right, because Robert Downey Jr. didn't do much for HTC.
No, I think
that always seems like that doesn't work for HTC. It's not good.
You don't need it anymore. It didn't work for Samsung with William H. Macy. I mean, is there more of a household name than William H. Macy?
I forgot about William H. Macy.
Wait a minute, who's he again?
I forgot that he was a Samsung person.
I still think that was a really weird decision to be like, listen, we're going to build this marketing plan around William H. Macy. I got a feeling about this guy.
But everybody knows about Little John and his champagne and the Galaxy S7.
What's Little John?
Little John. And he's like, wait, wasn't Little John? Yeah, it was Little John.
I have no idea what that is.
What is a Little John?
He goes around and he's like...
Champagne, yeah. I need some champagne, please.
Oh, that was a turnoff for me. But anyway,
it was Lil Wayne, by the way. That's how old I'm getting now, guys. I don't even know.
Anyway, I don't think a celebrity endorsement is what's needed. I think it needs to be accessible and it needs to be a big impactful launch that gets the word out about it. So,
I agree.
Yeah. But that said, when it does launch, our friends over at Android Police got are peeling back the layer. Of course, we're going to spoil everything that's going to be announced. But apparently the Nexus launcher is apparently going to be renamed to the Pixel launcher based on a leaked APK. How did these APKs leak?
Very easily.
So it's this leaked APK is giving a little more credence to the rumor that Nexus is out and Pixel is in. Pixel launcher, there you have it.
Pixel. Get your Pixel here.
Yeah.
Pixel, get your Pixel here.
Wow, where did that come from? The acoustics in this room, by the way, are much different.
I know, it's not working for my very loud.
Anyway,
it's an enclosed room versus a very wide open room at the old studio.
Thankfully, most voice doesn't have much place to travel in here.
Yeah. But what about Aura? I thought this was kind of sad.
You're just trying to make me upset with keep talking about the Aura thing. And
Well, what's weird is I'm going back to last week's episode. I think we talked about the same stuff at the top the last two weeks.
Oh, jeez.
The Samsung battery, the Pixel stuff. The week before that, we talked about how Google was killing Aura. But wait, there's more.
Return of Aura?
Kind of. Dan McCoskey, he's the founder of Project Aura when he was at Google. He's now working with a new company called Nextpack. They create Aura-like cases for Android and iOS. And I was at TechCrunch Disrupt yesterday.
Oh, I know. I saw.
You were?
I know.
And that's right, you were.
Okay, so
I was right around the corner from you. I should have texted you.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Well, I was busy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you were probably busy, yeah.
But
look at those zebra patterns.
So we were walking along, and suddenly look up, and I see the big sign, and it looks like an Aura, you know, on the flag. I'm like, oh, we got to, you know, check that out. I spoke with the CEO of the company and interviewed him about it. And not once, I didn't know this news then, not once did he mention, and even my first question was about like how this, you know, could totally be mistaken for an Aura, you know, blah, blah, blah. Never once mentioned that, oh yeah, by the way, the creator of Project Aura is on our team. Missed opportunity there, I suppose, but it's still very cool. Like, I understand the concept here is less about let's create a modular phone, more about let's bring modular to the phone you already have. So it works for iOS, it works for Android. They've got dev kits to be released so that independent, you know, people, company, whatever, can create modules to fit into it. They've got a bunch of modules already, speakers, air quality testers for their market in China, customizable buttons.
Okay, I'm sorry. Air quality testers for their market in China.
They said that. Lord. Their words. Their words.
I want this so badly.
So there you go.
Modular. The air quality.
I feel like we talked about this when they announced, I think. Because I vaguely remember this.
For a Kickstarter? Because I think they kind of did a Kickstarter. Yeah. I can't remember when. But
I vaguely remember it. But that's cool. I love the modular.
Yeah, it was neat.
Kickstarter. So, they launched Kickstarter back in April. That's when, we totally did.
I mean, I got to play around with it. I got to slide the modules in and out and kind of test a little bit. Didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with how it interacts with the app that's running on the phone, which is kind of the glue that ties it all together. But
so what's very cool is that on their website, they say it works with the iPhone 6, iPhone 6 Plus, Galaxy S5, S6, S6 Edge, Note 4, Note 4 Edge, and the OnePlus One. Mm-hmm. But then they have a little option where you can tell them what phone would you like it to work. And so I'm going to tell them the Xbit Robin.
Do it.
Yeah, there are people voting. Interesting.
Put it in there. Yeah. So anyways, if you had your hopes tied into the future of Project Aura, now you don't have to wait. Well, you still have to wait because you still have to wait for this to release.
But no one has asked for the Nextbit Robin, by the way. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to say
first one. Make it so, Ron.
Robin.
There you go.
Also making it so, we have an email.
Email.
Here we go. Hi.
Hi.
In a few of your shows that I listen to, there was discussions around which manufacturers pledged to offer fast monthly updates for their Android phones. Nobody, as far as I know, mentioned BlackBerry, which did pledge to offer monthly updates. I have the priv since the beginning, and I confirm that so far they are following the Google's updates. They are following Google's updates very closely, with very few exceptions.
Nice.
Thank you for all the great work. Fox Freejack. And that's an amazing name, by the way.
It is an amazing name. I question it actually being his name.
It's a good alias.
And now we found the guy who's using a priv. Like, he's
also
the guy.
True.
He's the guy who's using a BlackBerry.
I was going to say, I was actually just thinking that, he bought a priv. So I want to ask you, Fox, follow-up question. So you paid $700 for this phone? Anyway, you can answer that in another email. But that's good to hear about BlackBerry. And I feel like they would have to do that because...
The priv pledge, somebody said in the chat room. That got me. The priv pledge.
The priv pledge.
Oh, BlackBerry.
Hey, at least they're holding true to their commitment to monthly updates, which is...
Unlike, you know, Motorola.
most others, I mean, for the most part.
Sorry, I scratched you by accident.
It's okay, I had an itch. Okay, so BlackBerry Priv, there's another reason to get one, if you were thinking about it.
Actually,
if you were on the Priv Edge.
I've been updating, like, the carrier hubs for Android Central, and a lot of the carriers don't sell the Priv anymore.
Oh, really?
Like, they just don't have pages for it.
Yeah. Which, by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very cool.
If you were here last week, we would have been like, congratulations! But then
I was working for Android Central.
Yeah.
I was covering my first event.
Yes, you were covering an event with a device that we will get into
after this advertisement.
That's right. After this break, this episode is brought to you by Grasshopper. They are the sponsor of this episode. Grasshopper is a virtual phone system designed for entrepreneurs. Grasshopper works just like a traditional phone system, but it requires no hardware purchase, no software installation. They have an iOS or Android app. You can use it on either platform. And with that app, callers can reach you wherever you are on your mobile phone. Grasshopper allows you to keep your existing number so you can maintain your brand. And when you make a call, your client's going to see your Grasshopper caller ID instead of your own personal phone number. You simply select a toll-free or a local number. You can record a custom greeting to go out and add multiple extensions for your business. So it does all of this for you, and you don't have to buy all that expensive hardware in order to do it. Toll-free numbers are awesome for marketing, obviously. It makes your business sound even more professional when you're calling from that number or when they're calling that number to reach you. Set up department and employee extensions with custom call forwarding to any phone in the world. You can get voicemails emailed to you as audio attachments, so you don't even need to leave your desktop if that's where your work environment takes you. You can just kind of stay locked in that desktop environment. You can also send and receive SMS messages from your business number. Join over 250,000 Grasshopper customers today. Plans start at just $12 per month, and you have a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can check it out, see what you think, and, you know, you're not losing anything in the process. Turn your smartphone into a business line. Use Grasshopper. To save $50 on your order, go to trygrasshopper.com/twit. That's trygrasshopper.com/twit, and we thank Grasshopper for their support of All About Android. All right, we've got a pretty bulky hardware block.
Yeah,
let's
do
it.
Flo brings all the goodies to the yard.
Yeah, my purse is really heavy today.
I can imagine, jeez.
Because these things actually do weigh.
Yeah. So what do we have here first? Well, I think we have to start with the V20.
Yeah, right? So let's start with the V20. It's a little fingerprinty, but here we go.
You want this?
Well, yes, I do.
There you go.
There, have a little towel.
See? There you go. Production values matter.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Just call me the gaffer.
So this is the V20, the LG V20. It's a successor to the LG V10, which was the phone that they introduced last year as sort of for content creators, people to, you know, you want to make a video on the go. You know, apparently Joseph Gordon-Levitt is using this for his hit record company.
Is he choosing to use it or is he getting paid to use it?
We'd have to ask Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, I guess so.
To be quite honest, we should ask him. And I feel like if we tweeted him, maybe he would respond.
Yeah, he probably
would. That would make my heart flutter. Too bad he's married. Anyway.
Wow, too bad you're engaged.
It's okay. I have 4 weeks. Anyway.
Whoa.
Just kidding.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, that's your chance.
So the LG V20 has a 5.7-inch Quad HD IPS display, so it's not super AMOLED like the Samsung phones, but it doesn't matter because it's still very pretty. We have a second screen here at the top. This is a completely different screen from this screen, from the bottom 5.7-inch screen. And actually, when you turn it off, my goodness, this is...
Wait, it's got a smaller screen
the
big screen?
It's got a smaller screen here.
What is this, Pimp Your Ride?
Pimp My Ride.
I heard you like screens, so I put a screen
in
your
screen. Yeah, and see, you have like all these quick access shortcuts, you know, to your flashlight and Bluetooth
this
and all
like
that.
This is like a Samsung thing.
Yeah, and it's also really nice because your notifications will appear up here, so they're not taking a part of this screen.
That's
pretty
cool.
Which is also kind of nice because you get that little added bit of screen space over here. I appreciate it. It's really good for, you know, if this is a media phone, you want to use the whole screen to its capacity. Inside, it's got, you know, your typical Snapdragon 820, 3 gigs of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage, micro SD expansion. The best part of this phone, though, I mean, besides its cameras, which we'll get to, But the best, I guess, physical part of this phone is that you can just open it.
Wow, that's like old school.
Just like, for real. And just like pop in your SIM and your micro SD card and then take out the battery if you want. This is a 3200 milliamp battery pack, which is awesome. On the back here, we have, and see, it just like snaps back like that. There's a little button right here.
That's like so reminiscent of a couple of years ago.
Undoes it, undoes it. You have to remember to snap it back together. On the back, we have dual cameras. We have a 16 megapixel, which shoots at an aperture of 1.8. And we have a 8 megapixel wide angle camera, which is great. You can switch between them just like on the V10. And I believe the G5 had this as well. Or at least the wide angle, regular angle abilities. We have flash. On the front, it is 5 megapixels, which also includes wide angle. And it includes, the big thing about the V20 is that it includes 3 HD mics with studio mode for improved loudness controls. It's also 32-bit hi-fi quad DAC. It uses 32-bit hi-fi quad DAC for improved audio, which you can totally hear when you're listening to music. Now I'm silly and I didn't offload any music before I left the house, but I did download digitally imported so we could test it out. But if you guys want to talk about the V20 while I enter.
So it has the screen up at the very top, which are you finding that useful? Is it a useful kind of addition?
Not bad. It's not.
Did you find the edge useful in the same way? Very plinky, plinky.
You want the speaker. And it has a headphone jack. Point,
yeah. Oh, a headphone jack. Yay.
Nope.
Hold on.
I'm just trying to make Mac and Josh's life crazy.
Yeah, we're just going to throw him for a loop. Audio? Oh, I hear it.
There it comes.
What are you listening to?
Future Beats, the station on Digitally Important. FYI, I'm a subscriber, usually imported. I just really love them. Anyway,
interesting song.
No, it's great. And look, you can see up here. You missed it anyway.
That's okay.
But you saw. The playback controls are at the top. You know, all the notification stuff happens. So I like having this. I'm not really a fan of the shortcuts there at the top. I don't really use shortcuts.
Okay. I like it for notifications, though.
But
that's
for notifications
cool.
And really to have, like, your music controls in there.
And honestly, I've been saying this whole year that I want to see innovation in hardware. I want to see different things. I liked the LG G5 because of the modular thing, even though it was a bad execution. This seems like a neat little, like, how can we change the way you interact with the phone? Similar to the Edge.
Yeah.
But, that's pretty cool.
I feel like the Edge got criticized a little bit for the usefulness of the side thing. And I'm trying to figure out, like, if this is more usable, even though they're kind of doing the same thing, but this is like...
It's not more usable. It's just extra screen. Yeah. It's just a second screen.
Yeah.
And when you turn it off, like in the sunlight, you can see like the two screens.
You see the two physical things. I would love a teardown of it to see the...
I personally would rather just have it off. Just have it be like a black bar. I like it this way with the always on at the top so you can see the time. That's nice.
That's pretty cool. But does that drain the battery or?
No. It's like any always on screen, you know,
it's always on.
It's always on and it's not really using battery.
So you're telling me this always on screen is always on.
It's using some
but
battery.
But part of the conversation of the V20 that we've been sort of having in the Android community, this should have been the G5.
That's cool.
I think the G5 was kind of a messy rollout and this feels like flagship worthy.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people are actually saying. Like, this is the flagship that LG needed.
Don't you like the way
it feels? I do. It has a really nice feel.
It's actually lighter.
It's not the flagship they wanted, but it's the one they
needed. It's lighter than the Note 7, BT dubs, like by a fraction.
Wow. What is this
button on the side? You can just sense it. That's the one that takes the back panel off.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's
it's just
that's
a little
so prominent for a panel.
And ladies, it's manicure friendly. Which BT dubs, the G5 is not.
How so? Oh, the button. The button to take off.
You just press it. G5, you have to actually sort of like
that's like
pop
the
off.
Easiest backplate popping off I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
I like the second screen for what I used to use for my the little widget on my screen to control the Bluetooth, turn Bluetooth on and off. Like, that's very good.
Yeah, I like that as well.
That's really great.
Cool. It's got a really nice feel. The design is
And by the way, pleasant. I misspoke. It was 4 gigs of RAM, not 3. Oy. My brain.
Okay. This is nice. I like it.
Yeah, so I'm going to dive into it. We'll have the review later, and cool. I'm going to be playing with it for the week, and I'll have a couple of articles up. So just as an aside, though, my gosh, I didn't even mention this in the beginning, and I apologize. This is the Korean preview variant. This is actually not the final hardware.
Okay. What will be
should
different?
Should have mentioned that in the beginning.
What will be worried. Different?
So what happened, LG did this with the G5, with us journos. They sent us a preview unit and they sent us a real unit afterwards. Usually it's just software tweaks. The bands in it it doesn't have all the US bands.
Okay.
Also, we did get a query about the V20 in, which I just want to address very quickly before we move on. This one's from Adam. He says he's watched a lot of YouTube videos about the V20 and it looks like the American model does not have the Bang & Olufsen emblem on the back. Is the American version of this phone not going to receive the B&O treatment, including the tuning speakers and B&O headphones? And actually, Adam, it's not. So it will not include any of those tweaks in the U.S., but overseas in Asia, it will. One way that LG is trying to sort of tide this over is it will include B&O headphones. Or, well, actually, we're not completely sure about that either. There's still a query out about it. To LG about whether or not that's going to be the marketing spiel going forward. So we shall see. I mean, review units haven't gone out yet. This is still in preview mode.
Cool.
So we'll see what the sales strategy for it will be.
I really like the design of it. Way more than the previous one, the G5, which just felt empty.
I know it seems kind of just like milquetoast because every phone looks like this. But, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, there are subtle variations.
Absolutely.
Here. I like how the display kind of has this drip over the edge down there on the sides, like a third of the way down the sides of the device. Although if you drop it on that thing, that's probably not going to be very fun.
Yeah, it's probably going to get a little scratched up.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
I fixed your phone for you.
There
you go. There you go.
I think maybe.
Yeah. Ron is the best. He is so cool.
is what it says in the top.
What it says on the shot. Yeah. Could you go over the shot, please, if you don't mind. Ron is the best. He is so cool. I'm going to leave that there.
That's a great way to screw people. When they get into their phone, you can change that.
Ron is the best. For a second? He is so cool. Now, this phone isn't on. I haven't set it up yet, and I apologize, but this is the Moto Z Play Droid. So this is the new Moto Z sort of mid-range that was announced last week. The week before?
A couple of weeks ago.
I was unemployed the week it was announced.
Ah.
So I sort of lost track when it was announced. So this is going to be an exclusive like the other two Moto phones at Verizon. It's going to cost us a little over $400. Inside it has a Snapdragon 625 5.5-inch Full HD display, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigabytes of storage in the U.S., 16 megabyte camera on the back, and which also has a 2.0 aperture, 5-megapixel front-facing camera, and wide-angle abilities, as well as front-facing flash.
Front-facing.
My goodness gracious. My English is just going.
It's okay.
Today.
You're Sean Connery.
It's also got a water repellent coating. This also has USB Type-C, and unlike its other two siblings, this has a headphone jack.
Oh, yeah. This is the one to go for if you like listening to things without dongles. Okay, so I've been very curious, because I have not seen any of the new Motorola phones. So I'm very curious to hold this, because any of the photos that I see, I feel like the back looks super
rigid. You have seen the new Motorola phones.
Rigid.
I brought them to you.
I was not on when you brought them into the studio, I don't believe. I don't remember seeing them. Maybe
oh my
I
gosh,
blanked.
That's right. You were on vacay.
I have not seen.
There you go. God. I've even seen it.
Sorry. I know.
But every time I see the photos, I feel like
the back looks either, actually.
Looks I really like the white
edgy
one.
Edgy and rigid and uncomfortable.
With
but
the gold.
That's actually not too bad. I just.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And yes, y'all.
Do you have something we can snap onto it? Do you have a thing we can snap on?
Yes, but I'm going to, well, yeah.
Oh, that's a thing? Or did I just ruin your thing? Oh,
that's okay.
Well, it's not bad.
I do have a thing.
The camera bump, wow, this is a big bump. But
well, the bump but the bump goes away when you add the thing, yeah.
Right.
The bumps are big at all.
Oh, this was hysterical watching you use, by the way. I was following you on Snapchat when you were using the Hasselblad camera. The zoom noise was.
Should we move on? We're going to move on to the Hasselblad.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope I charge this phone. Nope.
Oh, no.
Will it work with this one or no? Will it not work with this one?
It's not on.
Oh, yeah.
I ruined everything.
That's okay. We can take a look at the
That's okay, guys, because
tell us how you feel
you've
about it.
Maybe seen me use it on Snapchat, and, you know, I apologize. I did not.
It's okay.
Charge the phone. But anyway, I'll tell you about it. So this is the Hasselblad mod, which I've kind of been using just for fun. It's $250 if you buy it through Verizon because it's the only carrier offering these phones right now, or it's $300 if you buy it on your own. It does not. So when you tack this onto the phone, and we're just going to tack it on just to show you what it's like, what it looks like. So when you tack it on, it looks like this. It's just.
It's on now? Like I didn't even hear a click. Oh, it's not. You're holding it?
No.
Does it need power to be on?
It needs power. So this
the Pogo pins are powered.
Completely powered by the phone that you have on you. So the Moto Z.
So if you turn off
on.
The phone while does you have a Moto mod on, does the thing just go?
Just goes off.
Ooh. No, but does the thing fall off then?
Like do the magnetic?
No.
Okay.
Guys, magnets. How do they work? How do they work?
That's what I mean. It's like hold it upside down. Will it fall off now?
No.
Okay, that's what we're talking about.
We're talking about the
physical kind of thing.
No. You could toss this in your bag. The only thing is it makes your phone way heavier. Now, I'm going to have you guys feel this while I talk about it. So I want you to try it with that, and then I want you to try it.
Substantial enough.
I want you to try it with this phone.
Try it with that phone.
Okay.
This one's a bit heavier.
Hands on, folks.
Yeah.
Literal hands on.
Oh, look, this is turning on. Should it not?
I didn't put an account on it. But you know what? If you want to turn it on and skip it, then you have to download the software update. Oh, I'm the worst, guys. I'm sorry.
Just a little prep goes a long way.
I know. A little prep does go a long way. I prepped the script today, but I didn't prep the actual.
Okay.
That's not bad.
I mean, it feels nice.
Well, let me tell you about it at least. So whenever you start up an app that actually uses the camera that you've allowed access for the camera, the Hasselblad will turn on. Because what happens is when you attach this to the Moto Z, the actual Moto Z camera will not engage. So the camera that you're using is the 12 megapixel camera that's contained inside the Hasselblad mod. Now, this camera, so it's standalone. Once you pop it on, that's what you have to use to take your photos and your videos. It's incredibly finicky. I had a lot of problems using Snapchat, using Facebook, using Instagram to take photos. The problem is there's a loud motor inside the Hasselblad. So when you are taking video, the phone will pick up, the microphone will pick up the...
That was very funny.
Which you may have seen in my Snapchat. The Hasselblad is a 25 to 250 millimeter lens, so it's really great for zoom, and I tried it. It is pure 10 times optical zoom. Optical zoom. There's no digital zoom here. When you are zooming, you're zooming in with glass. You are not zooming in with software, which is awesome. And I did a couple comparisons, and I definitely noticed a difference between, you know, the 21 megapixel camera that's on the Z Force there, and the 12 megapixel that's on the Hasselblad.
So it's transferring data through the Pogo pins?
Yes.
That's amazing. Yeah. This is the future.
Possibly. We'll see if they sell any of these phones.
This is really cool. I want one of these.
The only other bummer about the Hasselblad is the variable aperture is between 3.5 and 6.5, which is significantly less than what you would get on a smartphone.
Some of the stuff that I had read.
Smartphones are between 1.7 and 2.0.
Yeah, some of the stuff that I had read was like, you're going to get better pictures out of the camera attached to your phone than you're going to get out of this camera
attached. Which is a bummer, because it's an extra $300. And guys, you can buy a cheapo Canon that will take just as good pictures, like a nice Canon point-and-shoot for $100 at Target. Right.
But it doesn't snap onto your phone in a futuristic sort of way.
I don't really see a point for this mod, other than it's a cool thing for Motorola, and yay, it has. But it's heavy, it's bulky. The carrying case that it comes with, the phone, if you use the Force with it, the phone gets super stuck in it, and it's like really hard to take out.
Use the Force.
Yeah, I can't use the Force, because the Force doesn't exist.
The Force is not with you.
And not even always. Never.
Should be with me. I was always a Luke Skywalker person, not a Han Solo gal, but whatever. See how that helped me in life.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, I know.
So Moto Z Play Droid.
Moto Z Play Droid, and the Hasselblad True Zoom is what the add-on is called. And this here, folks, is the Moto G4 Play. It's the cheap, low-end Snapdragon 410.
It's the low of the low G4, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 gigabytes of RAM, 16 gigabytes of onboard storage, 5-inch IPS display. It's only 720p. Super light. 8-megapixel camera, 2,800 milliamp battery pack. It's only $150, or you can buy it for $100 at Amazon if you're okay with the ads.
With the ads on the lock screen and notification.
Don't you know my password by now? It's the same for everything.
I don't look at people's passwords.
Our password is Ron is the best.
Is it this? No.
No, it's the half F. Now you all know my password. That?
No. What's a half F?
I don't know.
No, down the middle. Half F down the middle.
I don't know. Is that what is a half F down the middle? Oh,
no,
from the
different
top.
Direction from the top.
Oh, from the top. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right.
Can't do much playing with the play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, actually...
Removable back cover.
Pretty basic.
Removable battery, which is kind of great.
How much is the...
It's $100 if you want, if you're okay with ads on Amazon, or $150.
Okay. All right.
Because I like saying Fitty.
Fitty. Snapdragon 410. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely on the lower end of the spectrum there, but not expensive at all. So,
no, not expensive at all. Nice. Good travel phone.
Yeah,
if you're looking
for
a good travel phone to take to Europe or whatever.
Cool.
You know.
Nice.
Then just tether it to your real phone.
So full of hardware.
So much hardware.
I'm so full.
I'm actually a little winded after all that talking. Yeah. I was like.
I kind of want one of these.
You do?
Really?
I want the
you have to switch to Verizon.
I don't want to do that.
I know you
ever.
Don't.
Again,
I know.
I know. It's like,
I was there with you.
I've moved on from that relationship. You can't get this unlocked. You can't get the...
Not yet.
No?
It was supposed to be unlocked.
I just like the module. I know I'm a broken record with the modularity, but I feel like this is a cool... I mean, even though the Hasselblad is getting mixed reviews from Flo and from other folks, the concept of, like... Now it looks like a digital camera. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, like, you can take better pictures. And, like, I guess the question that was poised to me when I was explaining the Motorola Pogo pins and stuff like that is, like, how do you carry them around? And, like, do you just have a bag full of things? And that could be a hindrance, which I guess could be. But the projector, this, I'm curious.
They're also expensive modules, so it's not like the, you know...
Yeah.
Getting a phone and then tacking on all of the accessories is gonna cost some money.
Right, some change. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to charge it, but it didn't work.
That's okay.
So there you go, Fly.
Cool. Thanks for all the hardware.
Thanks for all the
hardware. Sorry, y'all. I didn't charge it before I left.
Okay.
Lesson learned.
We have, we actually have not one, but two video mails.
Yay! Love the video mail.
Kind of crazy. So we have the first video mail here with Kevin regarding the OnePlus 3. Take it away, Kevin.
Hey, guys. This is Kevin here. I'm a longtime listener to your show and a big fan. I just wanted to ask you guys a question that I can't seem to find an answer to anywhere on the internet. So I've watched lots of reviews, and nobody seems to talk about the speed of a cell phone camera. They talk about the aperture and the low light quality and how much detail you can capture. But I have a Nexus 6, and half the time when I try to take a picture, it's just too slow. So the time it takes to open the camera, focus on an object, and then snap a photo is too long, and the moment's already passed. And I have a little baby, and too many moments pass. So I'm thinking of getting a OnePlus 3, and since you guys have reviewed that phone, I'm wondering if you can shed some light on the speed of the OnePlus 3 as far as how long does it take to open up the camera app and snap a photo and have it in focus and have it look good. Is this a fast process? How long would you think that takes? Sometimes on my Nexus 6, it takes 15 to 20 seconds just to snap a stupid photo, and it's all out of focus by that time. So
yeah, I hate it.
love your show, and hopefully hear from you. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, it's true, because I feel like this is an ongoing issue with almost, you know, any phone that I've ever gotten is, yay, I got this great camera. Dang it, I missed the shot because it takes so long.
I test the camera speed when I review.
Yeah.
Just FYI. Oh.
As far as like from what point? What point are you testing that from? The point of tapping the shutter and it actually taking, or launching the camera and taking?
Mm. By the way, I tried to take a bite of that nugget.
I told you.
In the middle, and I'm really sorry about that. It's just my stomach started growling, and it was food in front of me, and I couldn't help it. It stained my pants.
Oh, no.
There you go. I'm going to take a little nugget home with you.
Yeah?
Anyway.
I think it'll wash out.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I do. I do from the launch of the camera to hitting the shutter button, how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, metric.
It's a good thing to know.
The Moto Z was, for instance, was very slow about taking snapping a photo, which is very frustrating. And the 6P as well.
I'm really I talked about this after my vacation when I realized I took less pictures with my camera or phone, with my phone with a camera on it, than I did previous vacation with an actual digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself missing things more and more. Getting blurry shots or missing what I'm trying to take a picture of when the moment happens or whatever. I just feel like a digital camera does the job better. I feel like they're like
dedicated.
Yeah.
The challenge there is, okay, now I got to carry around an extra thing. It's not the thing I have in my pocket 100% of the time. So dang it. Well, good news is that in my playing around with the OnePlus 3, I found the camera to be pretty fast. You were talking about the Nexus 6P. I feel like when I initially got the Nexus 6P, I thought it was very fast,
too. Oh, for sure.
And both of these phones have the thing, if you want to show the shot, Josh, where, like, on the Nexus 6P, double tap the power, it goes right to camera. But see,
well, that's waiting, nice for you.
And then
yeah, mine snap, takes longer
and there,
than that.
It took. That was a long time, I thought. And actually, if I'm, like, in a scenario and bursting, people are lined up and I'm like, I just want to take, like, three pictures, see how long it took to recover. Yeah. I'm in HDR Plus mode right now, so if I took that off, that would be a little bit quicker.
But
like the image game.
But that's
–
yeah, exactly. That shouldn't happen if you want HDR on. It shouldn't be that slow.
You know, maybe some of these processors
will – Look how fast the Samsung cameras are. And
yeah, that's true. Here's the OnePlus 3. I've got, and it also has the shortcut option. So double tap, takes the camera, snap, 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 snap.
Ooh, you girl, you snapping.
Oh, yeah, snapping. Oh, all those pictures of my hand are going to be uploaded to my Google Photos account. I can't wait because I love all of those
50
photos.
50 years from now when you're looking through your Google Photos library.
Oh, I've got tons of them. I've got tons of them for my kids where they grab the phone and they go somewhere and they take like 200 pictures. And some of them are actually really cool. So you never know what you're going to get.
50 Anyways, years later.
There you go. Hopefully that answers your question about the OnePlus 3. Hopefully some reviewers are pointing this out. Florence is. You're right. Because it's actually a pretty important metric, I think. Oh, Uncle Bick makes the point. None of those looked like they were in focus. Okay, fine. Let's do this again. Because my hand was in the way. So let's go. 1, 2. Oh, sorry. 1, 2. Dang it. I keep getting stuck. 1, 2. There we go. And do, 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 do. Those are all in focus. I don't know what you talked about, Uncle Bick. I could take this photo all day long.
And okay, that's getting updated to you. That's getting uploaded.
It's all getting uploaded to Google Photos right now. Man. You can see it all on Google Plus.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about some apps.
Let's do it.
Well, here in my notes, I'm told I should make a sad trombone noise with this news, but I'm not that. I'm like, whatever about it.
It's better than my shit.
We all saw Apple announcement for the iOS 7, the announcement that Nintendo is coming to mobile. This is something that we've been talking about for months. Flo pointed out to us some sort of thing where you talk to Miis. What was it? Mitomo? Mitomo, yeah.
I totally stopped playing it, by the way.
But Super Mario Run was the big announcement at iOS.
Did you say Super Mario Run?
Super Mario Run.
He's a Super Mario Run.
No, I'm not that narcissistic.
And you are Italian. So.
Hey, it's me, Super Mario Run.
Sorry.
Mario Run.
But Super Mario Run with a U is coming to iOS 7 by December. And while Nintendo confirmed that it will be coming to Android, it probably won't be until next year. Hence the sad trombone.
Oh, this is what we need. We need to get Sonic the Hedgehog next.
That'd be cool.
That's what we should get first.
We already have Sonic.
We already have Sonic. It's already out.
Yeah, we do. Sonic.
That's true.
Android. That is true. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Long time ago.
But iOS already has
it. What about Toe Jam and Earl?
battle. We could say Battletoads next. sad trombone notwithstanding, this is, you know, Apple clearly played Nintendo for an exclusive window. Sure. I'm not surprised. 3 months, you know, I mean, the question will be when Nintendo does roll it out.
More like Nintendo, please help us have a mobile strategy because we don't have one.
Right. Well.
Oh, and Nintendo is like, please, Apple, let me on your stage because we saw with Pokemon Go what this could do to our stock price.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, that wasn't an Apple event. That was a Nintendo event for a little
for the beginning. Yeah. Anytime you roll out Miyamoto, that's always a
True. Yeah.
It's but I want to play it. It looks cool.
That was awesome.
It's
by the way,
Mario.
The game looks cool. Yeah, I want to play it.
Really?
Yeah.
How much are you going to play it? When it comes out, I want you to keep track of how much.
Jason, it's basically a reprise of a lot of the DS games, though.
Yeah.
It's a reprise of the DS games. Same graphics, like same.
I never had the DS.
No.
Would you like to borrow mine?
I don't know.
Although your daughters might steal it. So.
Yeah, that's a dangerous proposition.
Because it's purple.
Yep.
That gives them another screen to focus on.
Yeah.
I think it looks fun. So
no, it'll be fun. I mean, and the question, and will you be, I mean, it's going to be, I think the plan is that it's, you can download a free version of it where you can get a couple of trial levels and then you got to pay to get the full thing. My question is, what is that price point going to be? Is it going to be $1.99? Is it going to be 99 cents? Or is it going to be like $7.99?
Well, Miitomo is only like, a couple bucks. I don't think it's going
to
be more than that.
I'll be interested to see what the pricing structure looks like. But
they could get away with it.
So they're saying sometime next year. We don't know if that means January or July.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Very true. Yep. So speaking of Nintendo titles that are very popular and also on the DS, Pokemon Go is coming to Android Wear, which is very exciting, especially because the little wrist wearable that you could buy for $35 at GameStop, like, completely sold out when Pokemon Go was first announced. So it was very hard to find that. But if you've got an Android Wear watch, then now you can just use Pokemon Go on there.
Eventually.
Because Apple did show off the Pokemon Go for the Apple Watch. And so PokemonGoHub.net has decompiled the latest build of Pokemon Go for Android and noticed that it is coming soon for Android Wear. So that's all we know. It's good to know. It makes me happy as an Android wearer.
And are you playing Pokemon Go still?
From time to time. We do it when we go for walks.
Oh, okay.
Because it's kind of a nice...
Pokey walk.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice way to get out of the house, especially this summer.
Let's Pokemon Go for a walk.
It was great for it.
I gotta tell you, when I was at Disneyland, it was Pokemon craziness. Everybody was playing Pokemon Go at Disneyland, and apparently there were lots of Pokemon to be had.
Wow.
There were lures all over the place.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I did not partake, because I was there to go to Disneyland.
I feel like the whole thing is
so jealous. By the way, are you wearing a Tiki Room shirt?
I might be.
That's what I thought.
Good eye. So there you go.
Someday I'll bring my Tiki Room pitcher and we'll do margaritas here at the table.
Tiki Room. I love the Tiki Room.
I love the Tiki Room.
All right. There you go. Let's save it for after the show.
Remember when I brought a Velociraptor into the arena? You remember that?
I remember that because it was my app.
Yeah. That was a while back. It used the OpenStreetMaps data to basically overlay the speed limit on top of Google Maps to show you what's posted for where you are. And it also actually showed you what you were going. So how it compared, it could give you alerts for when you went, you know, however much over that. That you set. And it won in the arena. I just want to point that out. My app, when I brought it then, it won. Yeah. Just let that settle for a second. Just think about it. Okay, anyways. Now it looks like Google Maps is doing a server-side update that will enable speed limits overlays for users of the app natively. So it's going to start being brought into Google Maps. I actually saw that my Google Maps has the setting there, but I haven't used Google Maps since I saw that the setting was there, so I haven't seen it myself. But it's nice to see a really great feature. I think that's the speed limit of where you're.
It was doing it on the way here, and I thought it was just like yelling at me.
Oh,
nice.
So how is it? So it popped it up.
It just pops up and it says the speed limit here is 40. The speed limit here is 20. It just pops up in the corner. Yeah. And I keep my phone on. Okay, don't yell at me.
The example is
right where
you're
still. But I keep my maps on so I can see the traffic when I'm driving. So I know, like, sometimes it'll offer me alternate routes because homegirl ain't got time.
That the screenshot example on the right is right in my old neighborhood.
Aww,
that's where I used to live. Just a little to the left of the map. But yeah, that's right there.
It's as if the person that snapped that shot knew.
Well, speaking of Google Maps, we got a pretty cool video mail talking about something you can do with Google Maps.
Kind of. And biking.
Big fan of the show. You couldn't tell. I'm currently on my bike And I have a question about route navigation on Android. So I currently use RunKeeper to track all my bike rides and my runs, and I love it. It's a great app. I've been using it for years. But the biggest problem is that it doesn't support turn-by-turn navigation, which is kind of a bummer with new routes. I don't really know where I'm going, and it's hard to follow when the phone's strapped to my bike or even on my arm. So my question is, does Google Maps or another app that can use alongside RunKeeper support quick access to custom routes that I create? The caveat being that I don't allow Google to just determine the best route from point A to point B, because usually point A and point B are the same, and also I wanted to dictate exactly which turns I make and when. So I didn't know if there was a way I could create a shortcut on my desktop and it automatically pulls up that route and tells me when I need to turn left and when I need to turn right. It'd be a huge help. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
That's Brian Lewis.
By the way, I spent the entire video biting my lip, praying that he didn't wipe out. Like, wow.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
That was amazing, but please no one ever do that again. That is dangerous. Oh, my God. I'm not a bike rider. I haven't ridden a bike for 30 years, but I got to imagine that's scary.
It was so X Games.
That was very X Games. You're right. That was extreme.
He's just talking.
Okay,
to
next time somebody cool. do it on a skateboard. Right. Just very, next very time cool. somebody do it on a skateboard.
That was neat. It just made me nervous. It gave me
yeah, it
just,
made yeah, me nervous yeah, too. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I was trying to understand exactly what he wants. Basically, what he wants is he wants to create custom bike routes.
Yep.
And have that navigated for him while he's using RunKeeper in the background.
It reminds me of like the running map routes that I'll lay out. So I want to run through this
right.
navigation, but have it be in Google Maps.
How did you do that?
I didn't use Google Maps.
I used
the website. Yeah, that. Okay. But yeah, but the problem was that with Google Maps, they want to give you the best route.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went on Google Maps, maps.google.com on my desktop, and set the beginning and destination points, set it to bike mode, you know, so pulls up some of those alternate bike routes or whatever. And then within the map, you can click points along the proposed route that it gives you, and you can drag them around so that you can create your own kind of path. And then there is a save maps feature. What is it? Send directions to my phone. This is when it fell apart, though. When I sent it to my phone, you can do it through email, you can do it through notification or text. When it sent it to my phone and I pulled up that route on my maps on my phone, it did the default point A to point B. It didn't do the customized, which kind of didn't make any sense because I just created this customized map and it said, do you want to send this route to? So apparently it's only sending the start and end points. It's not sending the whole customized route. So I thought I had a solution, and then I realized I didn't. That didn't work. There may be a way to do this, and I'm wondering and kind of putting the call out, and I can see you guys are Googling right now, possibly about it. You know, put it out to the fans of this show. If you have a solution, send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. We'll play it next week and give an answer on this topic. But Ron,
I just looked on Google, yeah. but I'm seeing that there's a, you know, like there's a way, like you said, to plan out your own. Here, Josh, I'll give you the blog thing.
Now that's an older article.
That is an older article.
Changed things. It's 2013.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. All right. So maybe don't show this, but yeah. But I mean, there is a My Maps section of Google.
Well, there is, but I couldn't
but can
find
you
it
get
now.
To it?
Then
the
I
question
can't find
is,
it now.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's an old thing that they got rid of.
The thing is, they used to have it. I mean, I remember I used to use it when I lived in San Francisco.
Here, actually, you know what? It's mymaps.google.com, I think. No, that just takes you.
I have bicycling on here.
Well, no, that's
mymaps.google.com. Create a new map.
Yeah, it's My Maps, but can you get your maps in to the app?
Yeah, that's the question. All right. Someone who's doing this, I'm sure somebody out there is doing this and can help us out. Send an email to AAA@twit.tv.
Please.
Is this your map, Josh, that you're showing on the screen?
No. The twit technical director's.
Yeah. Oh, remember that map was made available at I.O.
For Shoreline Amphitheater for the I.O. 2016. Mm-hmm. If you know the answer to Brian Lewis's question, email us or send a video mail. Well, don't have to be riding a bike when you send any video mail.
But it'd
mail.
Be hilarious.
Well, hang on.
But don't be unsafe.
That's 2013.
Yeah. But, yeah, a lot of the stuff I found was kind of older. And yeah. But yeah, apparently My Maps is its own thing.
Something happened in 2013, but there is a, if my browser will load, I did see that there's a, use My Maps on mobile and Google Help.
And Google Help?
So support.google.com/mymaps. Use My Maps on mobile. Create and view custom maps of Google My Maps. There are many ways you can access edit maps on the go. View and edit maps in the My Maps app. Install the My Maps app.
That's the piece that I missed.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, My Apps.
So there's a separate app called My App. My Map app. The My Maps app.
Google My Maps. That's the name of the app. It's Google My Maps. And there you should be able to create your custom maps. Nice. We got there.
Do it now.
I did it.
You should be able to create your custom maps. And I imagine from there, now I haven't tested it myself. We have not tested it, but I imagine through this, you should be able to create a map and then navigate that specific map and make it a biking map or whatever, and then load it in.
Whoever took these screenshots has a very fun life.
That would be anyone that works at Google.
True.
Or at least that's the romantic view of Google as a place to work. There we go. Hopefully that works. Let us know.
The My Maps app.
If that worked.
My Maps app. Let us know.
All right. We have some apps to show off in the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena. Boom goes the dynamite.
My Maps app.
Okay, where are we at, y'all? Because I've been gone for a while. Oh, good. I'm still ahead. Oh, no guess.
No, so hang on. Let's do next week. Then we'll do the tally. Flo, you're jumping ahead.
Let's see here.
Last week's winner.
Last week's winner is Ron. I mean, there were two of us.
Okay.
There was going to be a winner.
Only one was going to win.
There was going to be a loser. Yeah. Ron was the winner with Taskbar, 59%.
Finally, one of my Taskbar apps got through. So yeah,
If you kept doing it.
What was the breakdown again? I'm sorry.
59% Taskbar, 41%.
Dang.
All right. So that means that after 36 weeks, Jason's in last with 7. I'm in third with 8 wins. Flo's in second with 9, and the guests are still winning with 12. Flo, while you were gone, the guest won 2 weeks ago, then I won last week. So
Chris from Android.
Huh?
2 weeks ago, you're talking about. Yeah. Our Chris guest Chavez. 2 weeks ago win.
Chris,
yeah.
Yes.
Chris Chavez, okay. From Fandroid. Yep. So.
And we talked about pinball.
Yes, we did. So. I'm sorry. Again,
no,
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's either that or the Kardashians. Come on, people. Choose. Geez. What do you want to hear about?
This week's Android
Kim
app
or Ron?
Will actually be about pinball. So if
it'll
you liked
fun.
That,
it'll be fun.
Check it out. Ron and I are going
to
talk about
pinball.
Someday
I'm still
games.
Trying to get a Kardashian show in the works, but Jason keeps turning it down for some reason.
I do not. You've never asked once.
Even though there's like 12 Kardashian apps on Android.
But I probably would.
All right. So Jason, you came in last, so you're going to go first.
I was on a roll there earlier this year.
Well, we all were at some point. I was on a roll too at some point. And Flo was on a roll at some point.
I was.
The guests have been unstoppable. The thing is, the guests are never on a roll. The guests just kind of come in and they get one in there, get one there. They're nimble. They're dodging, they're weaving, and they're winning.
Yes. Okay, so mine is pretty quick and easy. If you've ever played the game called Badlands, really kind of captivating art style, really easy but challenging where it needs to be. Easy gameplay mechanics, let's say. Really fluid graphics, all that kind of stuff. There's a sequel to it. It's called Badland 2.
Oh, my.
And it's free. I have the free version right here. It does have an unlock, $3.99. Unlocks all of the levels, so you can play to get started. It also has some ads and everything. But the kind of approach on this, and it only just released, so I just downloaded it earlier today, and I really played the first one a lot, so I was happy with it. Essentially, you're this, like, floating... Oh, man, it's kind of hard to see, isn't it? Because it's such a dark level. You're this little floating...
Your fingerprints are everywhere.
I can't help my fingerprints. My fingerprints do things, okay? So you fly around, you collect the...
There we go.
Hey, that helps. Still kind of hard. So now I've split into all these different things. The mechanics of Badlands are just really interesting. As you go along, you encounter things that will multiply you, or you encounter things that will, you know, tear you to shreds, and suddenly you are, you know, but one piece where you used to be many, which is the case here. All the levels are super engaging. You've got these, you know, large gears all over the place that you have to, you know, use to propel you through. Or, you know, avoid so that you don't die, as keeps happening here. Lots of boulders you have to kind of, like, bounce through. It's just the whole art style is just kind of, I don't know, fluid is the only word that I can say. It's just very engaging and interesting. I don't know. It's really hard to describe this game, to be honest, because there's nothing really like it. It's its own type of game. But guaranteed, if you're looking for just a good game for Android, like, I feel like they are few and far between sometimes, and this is a really original game worth checking out. It's just a lot of fun. It's called Badland 2. Seriously, go online and kind of watch some gameplay footage for yourself to really understand it, because it's hard to explain it.
Say eyes next time, Josh.
Eyes.
Yeah. But once those lights came back on, it was like waking up in the morning. There you go. Badland 2. Florence, you're up next.
My turn.
Yep.
You guys remember the PSP?
Yeah.
Nope.
PlayStation Portable?
Yeah.
The first gen?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite game on the PlayStation Portable, PSP, was Lumines. I was so crazy about it. I downloaded an emulator. Actually, maybe I shouldn't be saying this on the podcast. I was so crazy about it. Anyway, I really missed it. And now there's an official, like, Android version of it. Now, it's not all the same music, which is a slight bummer, but it's still the same great gameplay.
It's like when you buy the 90210 DVDs and all the songs are different because of the music licensing.
By the way, Jason Priestley was on that podcast last week, he didn't know about that. He didn't know that they changed the music.
My sister read his book. We'll talk later.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk later. Yeah. Oh, I read his book too. All right, so Lumines is kind of like Tetris with really neat music. And as you can see, I won last time.
Lumines.
I never even heard of this.
So the goal of this game, it's just so addicting. So, oh my gosh, the music was so good on the original. And actually, it's pretty good on this too. So what you do is you tap to change it. And then it's kind of like Tetris. So you have to connect the same color blocks. And you have to connect four of them to make a big block, and then, you know, you score points, and it gets faster, just like Tetris, and the blocks come down faster.
Oh, it's a strange.
You know, it's Tetris. There's bonuses, yeah. And there's, like, you know, there's kind of hacks, like the way that you're supposed to drop the little blocks so that, you know, you can get more points. I'm not explaining this well.
I know sometimes because
it's
so hard
it's
to
a very because honestly, guys, this is a very straightforward game. It's you drop the blocks, you match the colors. The thing that I wish I could show you, I have to play through this game to show you, but it's with each level the blocks and the music changes, so it's completely different aesthetics. So right now you see this beautiful, like, you know, white and orange aesthetic going on here. The next one is going to be this cool, like, crystal blue circles, and that's what the blocks are going to be made of. It's neat. It's just like a neat industrial puzzle game. And I'm super happy to see it's on Android because, like I said, I was obsessed with it on the PlayStation 4.
Is it pretty faithful to the PSP version?
The mechanics are faithful to the PSP version. The music is different, and I think that has something to do with licensing. I would imagine that Sony has that on lockdown, being that it is Sony. So, which is kind of a bummer. But when you guys have a chance, in addition to playing this, check out the songs on YouTube. People
was the music
them.
Worth it? Was it like
I really liked the music. Oh, it's just like it's electronic music, and you know, I believe that game came out in 2005, so it's electronic music from that time, which was a good move. So yeah.
Nice. I like it.
It's really good. It's really fun. This is like a good game to play on the bus or whatever, and it'll change for a while. And also you can see like the song that's playing below.
And that line that's swiping by, like it seems like if you get really good at it, you can time your drops so that you maximize the boxes that it passes over at any given time.
Yeah. There's total strategy to it because the idea is that you want to have a bunch of connecting boxes. Sorry, I'm getting the angles wrong in this camera. You want to have a bunch of connecting boxes when the little line is passing through.
Yeah.
So you can actually, what you do is when it passes through that way, you stack them while it's at the end, and then it comes to the beginning and it's like score overload and it makes all these pretty sounds and you get all these points and the music changes. And
nice.
It's great.
Excellent.
It's great. It's super fun. Oh, very cool. Game.
I've never heard of it. I'm going to go ahead and put that on my phone. Luminez.
Eyes.
I was prepared for that one. It's $2.99, but guys, it's totally worth it. Support them. You know, they were a great game on the PSP, and I'm glad to see them on mobile.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Ron, you're up.
I didn't get the memo that we were doing a games arena.
I didn't.
I didn't either. It just so happened that way.
What we're doing is a app/games with audio arena.
Okay, well, I've got audio. Nice. So no games, there we go. But yeah, there you go. So this is an app that I've had my eye on since it launched. And when they launched my eye on. Get it? When they launched it, they weren't quite ready for prime time. So I'm like, I'm gonna let it simmer for a little bit, and we're gonna see how they do, see if they update it. And they have been making some major updates. And in fact, now it is a awesome, fun app to share music. If you're a music fan like me, oftentimes I like to post what I'm listening to, or if I've got a song stuck in my head or whatnot. The app is called Symbol, and it is available both on iOS and Android. And they have really improved the Android app recently, so I feel it's arena worthy now. So what you can do is when you open it up, you are able to look at Jason's arm. No, it's okay. I'm sorry. You can use your computer. I was just teasing.
You actually have nice arms.
Everybody can see.
So, them.
So
tan.
Basically, what it is that it's a they're positioning it as a social music social network, which I'm so tired of those two
like
words.
Like Last.fm?
A little bit, yeah, but actually, where people are using it. What it is you're able to post music that you like. And it's got connections to both Spotify and to SoundCloud. So if you have, so if there's anything that you listen to that's on either of those platforms, you can post it from Symbol and it will appear in the Symbol app, but it will also appear, you can publish it to your other various social networks that you appear on. So as we look at it, you see there's some trending stuff. There's some trending hashtags, some trending songs. You can see what's popular amongst the folks. But then the main functionality, at least what I like to do with it, you can where'd it go? There we go. Why is it doing this? There we go. Okay, so you can see this is my profile, and you can see my previous things that I posted. And what's great is that it pulls in the album artwork and, when you match the song. So what I can do is when I want to post something, I just hit the action button. All right, so now I can search either Spotify or SoundCloud. So I'm going to search for Humanly.
Your default emojis say so much about
you. I know, the first one is a kissy face. Yeah.
Sorry. Dang it. You want me. All right, so this song has been perpetually in my head all summer.
I mean.
All right, so here
don't
it is, so Humanly. So now when I see it, right? I've got the song. I have the album. I really wish that's the remaster. I want the original, although the art isn't the same. All right, so there you go. And so I can add in a comment, and I can put in, I was working as a waitress at a cocktail bar. All right, and so they suggest hashtags. So here they're suggesting 80s pop, new wave, the Human League, etc. If you want to use them, you can. You don't have to, right? And then when you publish it, you can choose whether you want to publish it to Facebook, to Twitter, or to Instagram. And this is what's really neat about it. So once I hit set symbol, it's going to auto-post to my Twitter account. So if you're watching along, go to twitter.com/Ronix so you can see it post there. It's going to post it. They're going to make a little recommendation about who I should follow. You know that guy's name. But no. All right. Oh, man, I missed it now. That's the whole point of the demo. So there we go. So now I can choose share to Instagram, and what it does is it sends over not just an image of the album, but actually they put together a video for you to post that plays a snippet of the song. Isn't that really cool? That's kind of clever. So when
today's theme, yeah. And then your Instagram has like a soundtrack.
So now when I'm going to post it, right, I'm just going to go, there you go. There you go. I can choose whether I want the sound on or off. And I say next. So I'm going to post it, and I can do my, I have to do my thing. I was working as a waitress in
100 likes.
Cocktail bar. Oh, that's completely spelled wrong. In a cocktail bar.
Okay, he sings it as he types it.
Cocktail bar. All right, so now that it's posted, if you followed me on Instagram, you would see, here we go, and I can... Isn't that pretty cool?
That's pretty cool.
Right?
I'm going to download this and bother everybody with my music.
So then you'd be like... This is the album cover, and
here's
and
the song.
The music.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
So now, so what's great
and
is
it's a short clip, so you don't run into any.
Exactly. Yeah. So now what you've got is you have the ability to interact on your social networks, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, as you choose. But then also, if you really want to get into it, if you're really super into music, you can also interact with this with whatever's going on here on it on Symbol itself. So you can listen to music. I don't know what Frank Ocean is, but it wants to do that.
You don't know what Frank Ocean is.
I don't know what that is.
What is a Frank Ocean?
Yeah. So now what's really neat is that when you hit the in Symbol, when you hit the headphones icon down there, this is my feed. And it's showing me folks that I'm following, right? So I'm following Epitaph. And what's great is that the 930 Club in DC is on here. There's channels based on genres. So there's an indie channel. My buddy who does Washed Up Emo podcast is on here. So you, much like Twitter and Instagram, you're following people, and there's tons of record labels, radio stations, other folks who are posting on here. And this can become your radio station where you just press play and you can listen to what your feed is posting. And you know, here, I love the Modern Lovers, so I'm going to like John's, right? And it's pretty cool. So
nice.
There he is. So it's called Symbol. It's a really cool music way to share music. It does connect with Spotify and SoundCloud. And if you want to listen to full length of things, you need to subscribe to Premium. It's just if you have the subscription to those services. So they're not actually serving any music on Symbol themselves. But really cool. I just mainly use it to post to Twitter and Instagram, and it's great. So
That is really cool.
That is really
a good
cool.
music discovery
Neo.
Network.
Yep.
Cool. bit.ly/AAAvote283. bit.ly/AAAvote283. It's a place you vote for your favorite. Is it Badland 2, Lumines. Or Symbol. Place your vote. We'll check on it next week and see who wins. And who knows? Maybe I'll have the new poll thing up by then.
Who are you going to vote for? Josh.
Yeah, Josh.
Who are you gonna vote for?
You gotta choose. Huh? You gotta choose your favorite.
Brian does it every time.
We're watching.
Does he really? He votes?
Yeah. He does. He does.
Oh, I have to decide.
We're watching. Don't mess this up.
Make a decision, Josh.
You like music.
Yeah, make a decision. I don't know how to. Okay, I think I'll go with that one.
There you go. Thank you, Josh.
Well,
good pick.
So it's even. All right, that was a
what
safe.
What happens if I change my mind? Oh, hey.
You can change your mind, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's, yeah.
Jeez Louise.
All right. That's it.
That is it.
Woo-hoo! Did it. Good show. Good job, folks.
Great job. Yeah. Great show. So fun to have
all the great
in
shows.
The studio.
All the great shows.
So you made the trek all the way from New York. So you
I
need
did.
To go first. What do you want people to know?
Yeah, just know me. Okay. Just get to know me.
Just get to know Ron.
Go to about.me/Ronixo. You can find links to all my social networks there on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Symbol. Follow me on Symbol, please. good times. In California this week. I'm back in New York next week, and I'll be back next week. I'll be back via Skype.
All right.
All's well. Busy. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
So
busy's good.
Good.
You didn't travel quite as far as New York, but you still traveled
not.
Far.
Yes. Well, you know, 40 miles. It's fine. Do it every Tuesday.
What you got?
Yeah, so I am, yes, I have left Greenbot. I am at Android Central now. That's where you can find my writings. I do a lot of how-tos and things of the sort. Kind of still figuring out what I'm doing, but
that's the adventure, that's, right?
But that's the adventure. So that's just come follow me, and of course you can follow me on Twitter at OLetFlow, on Snapchat at OLetFlow, I also will be manning the official Android Central Snapchat, which is Android_Central. There hasn't been much lately just because I've been settling into things, but I will be posting often as things get settled in.
Nice. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Very excited for you.
Thank you.
Mac and Josh, what about you?
What about me?
What about you? Exactly. Where can people follow you?
They can follow me on Twitter at The Mac and Josh. Same goes for Snapchat, The Mac and Josh there. Uh-huh. Let's see. Instagram, same thing.
I follow you there.
So you do. Yeah, that's right. You do.
You do.
Yeah.
Birds. Lots of birds.
There are lots of birds.
Lots of birds. I didn't know you had so many birds.
I have two. It's kind of two birds, but that's all I post.
It seems like there's more.
It's this thing.
Yeah. No, Birdman? I was looking at my feed like of what I posted, and it's just all just birds. That's all I post.
Is that the moment, and then you realized, and you're just
yeah,
like,
that's what
do,
I realized.
You should do, like, dramatic birds. Like, you should make fake dialogue between your birds and
I
just
should.
Have it be, like...
Great.
Yeah, see?
But you'll never press publish, because you'll always think that there's one way you could make it better.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. That's the Mac and Josh way.
That's true.
And that's why we love you, Mac and Josh. And you can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Follow my shows here on the Twit Network, you know, Tech News Today, Android App Arena, and filling in for Leo when he leaves, which he will be doing soon for a few weeks. I've got a lot of work ahead of me, and I'm looking forward to it. We have big things planned. So these two don't even know about one of the big things. We're going to talk about it later. You got a lot to look forward to.
There's so much intrigue.
I know.
You got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, wow.
Over the course of the next month and a half.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, but that is it. I'm going to leave you with that. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email or video mail at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit, which is twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes, complete show notes of everything we talked about, can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You'll find a link there to the doc that we use to do this very show. You can find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, wherever you look for podcasts. And you catch us live every Tuesday, kind of ish, around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.
Cheers.